Acts chapter 2, very familiar, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I noticed the two great powers when we think about nature is wind and fire. And I noticed that both of these are right there in those verses of Scripture. I'd like to preach tonight, Lord help me, on the Holy Ghost. I'm not exactly know why the Lord wanted me to go this direction, but that's the way I'm going to go tonight, Lord willing. You know, in Luke chapter, I believe it's 24, Jesus told them, said, I want you to tarry unto Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Now, if I understand a little bit about the Bible and read it a little bit, they were already casting out devils. They were already casting out evil spirits and healing people through the name of Jesus. So why in the world did they need more? I believe we can say that when Jesus made that statement, stay in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. I think we can say even before that, that these disciples or those that he talked with were saved. They knew the Lord. They were, can I say, were a Christian. So why in the world is doing great things in the name of Jesus? So why in the world would he say, you stay in Jerusalem till you get some power? And brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something tonight in a nice, gentle way. If there ever was a time we needed some power, it's now. I tell you, if there ever was a time we need to worship and praise Him and lift our hands in praise and glory to Him and be filled with the Holy Ghost, be stirred, not just stirred through emotion, but have some change. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. Without the Spirit of the Lord, I've always said, and not trying to be funny at all, if you don't have the Spirit of the Lord, you're as dead as a nickel. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Bible tells me, you know, when you go to the to get you some gas, you know, I used to say, fill it up. But anymore, you if anybody's going to do any filling up, it's going to be you. Seems like you don't have that where they pump your gas for you. But tonight I'd like for us to fill it up with the Spirit of the Lord. We got to have the Spirit. We got to have the Holy Ghost. So the Lord knew that we needed something. He said, it's expedient for you that I go away. If I go away, I'm going to send you a comforter. We need some power. We need some comfort. We need some strength. We need some encouragement. We need the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. We got to have it to move us and to stir us. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, and I got several verses here. You probably won't have time to turn to all these verses. But anyway, the Bible says the earth was without form. It was void. In other words, it was shapeless. It was empty. And the Bible said that the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the waters. Oh, I'll tell you what, when the Spirit of the Lord moves upon this mortal body, something's got to move. Hey, man, I want to tell you, something has got to move when the Spirit of the Lord moves upon this body. Hey, man, praise the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord moves on people, and they got to move. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, This might be the key. The reason Jesus said, stay in Jerusalem till you get this power. I mean this Holy Ghost that's going to stay with you, be in you. You're already saved. Now, I'm not one that preaches or teaches that you that you have to have the Holy Ghost to be saved. Oh, no. But I'll tell you what, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you need the church. If you do have the Holy Ghost, the church needs you. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, we need every now and then to say a little amen, raise that hand and give praise and glory to God. You know, I come from the old time, old fashioned way. I mean, I've seen them get excited in the Lord, not get excited in themselves. I don't believe in wildfire, but there's a genuine spirit of the living God that you can feel to the top of your head and it'll run out your toes. That's the Spirit of the Lord that I'm talking about. I've heard of people getting the Holy Ghost coming to the altar and praying for somebody else, and God would give them that sweet Holy Ghost. I don't. You ever heard of Leon Buzzard? He used to say, that sweet Lamb of God. I'll tell you what, I've served the Lord about all my life. Evelyn got the Holy Ghost when she was 10 years old. I'm going to tell you, this thing will keep you. It's real. It's powerful. I'll tell you what, when the going gets tough, that Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, will carry you through. Amen. Praise the Lord. And if you don't have it, get it. What are you waiting on? Hunger for it. Thirst for it. I'll tell you what, God will never leave a sacrifice. He'll answer it by far. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for that good Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. But ye shall receive what power? After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and into the othermost part of the earth. He'll give you power to be witnesses, to have boldness. That's the reason he wanted us to have this Holy Ghost power. Acts chapter 2, continuing there in verse 38 and 39. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. For what? For the remission of sin. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Are you saved tonight? Have you been baptized in water? You're ready for the Holy Ghost. It's a gift. Amen. I'll tell you what, I think, according to my understanding of the Scripture, you get the Holy Ghost through obedience. I mean, you can give everything you got. You can live holier than anybody. That won't be good enough. It's a gift. You got to be saved by the blood and get that Holy Ghost. It's a gift. I mean, I heard of one elderly woman that she was seeking the Holy Ghost, and she went to bed one night and went to sleep and woke up speaking in tongues. What about that? I'm talking about getting the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Amen. I mean, we need a stir from here to the back, from the back to the front, from side to side. We need the Holy Ghost because that's what's going to help us make it through. We think it's tough now. We haven't seen nothing yet. It's going to take a power. It's going to take the Holy Ghost to take us through this thing. You think you're going to make it through the tribulation? No. I'm looking not to go down. I'm looking to go up at the catching away of the saints. Amen. And the way this thing looks in Syria and Egypt and Israel and all of that, this thing could blow. It's not a time to give up. It's time to get ready to go up. Praise the Lord. But this thing, in verse 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all them that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That Holy Ghost is for us, to our children, to our grandchildren. Amen, that good Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. In Matthew chapter 3, we find where John the Baptist is baptizing in water. He said, I baptize in water, but there's coming one after me that shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I think sometimes we think the Holy Ghost is just to shout, or it's just to say, to dance, or to speak in tongues. But the Holy Ghost is a comforter. Amen. It's a comforter. It'll take you through some very difficult and hard time. Joel said in that little book of Joel, it says, in the last days, God will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. Church, that's you and me. Hallelujah. That's you and me. Hallelujah. Oh, I received the Holy Ghost years ago. I probably shared this with you. I was seeking the Holy Ghost. I was praying and I was fasting. Had a hunger for it. What in the world is wrong today? I'm not blind. I'm not deaf. I can see. It seems like people just don't have the hunger and the thirst after that good Holy Ghost and power. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I tell you, I got the Holy Ghost that night. That Friday night in Lawrenceburg, Kentucky. They was telling me to hold on. Someone was telling me to let go. I didn't know what to do. I put my hands over my ears. I just had to shut them all out. Good old grandmother, Granny Cottrell on my mom's side, read the Bible almost 100 times. She got right down in my ear. She said, just push everybody out. Just blank everybody out. And just get your mind on the Lord and start praising Him. Start worshiping Him and just be obedient and let Him have control of your tongue. And I'll tell you what, Brother Gibbon, I went into another world. And that's what's carried me all these years. I heard a little story one time where this young man married this beautiful young lady. They were married for 2 years and she died, I think, of cancer or something. 20 years later, he was still single, taking care of the little daughter, the little girl that they had. You know what his statement was? He said, I had my wife for 2 years, but that's carried me for the last 20 years. I'll tell you what, the Holy Ghost, it'll carry you. I got the Holy Ghost when I was a young man. I'm telling you, I know a little bit about pressure. I know a little bit about cliques and little groups getting together, and you're not in their group. They have nothing to do with you. I've been there. I've done that. That's nothing new. But I want to tell you, it takes the Holy Ghost to carry you through this sin, sick, adulterous, ungodly, wicked, sinful generation. It's going to take the Holy Ghost. Amen. Jesus said, hey, he told that woman, says, hey, you drank of that water, you'll thirst again. But the water that I give you, it's everlasting. It's living water. That good Spirit of the Lord is living. It's alive. It's not dead. You know what? I've never had to go to church and get somebody to pump me up or prime me up or pick me up. That Holy Ghost, it'll quicken this mortal body. I'll tell you something else. I like good singing. I like good testifying. I like all them good things. But I'll tell you, right there is what brought me this far, is the Word of God and His grace and His mercy and His goodness. I don't know where any of you's ever ate multiberries or not. I never had. I like blackberries. But we found a multiberry tree back there behind our house. We didn't even really know what it was. And we went out there and I picked them things off, me and Evelyn and so on, and we picked them things out. We fixed them like blackberries. I'll tell you what, mulberry jam instead of blackberry jam. I'll tell you, you put that on cornbread and butter, it's just as good as blackberry. But what I'm getting at, David was surrounded by some enemies. The Philistines had come against him, and he was in a battle. And David went to God and said, Lord, you want me to go up against them? And God said, no. No, he said, I want you to go behind them. And I want you to get over there by the mulberry trees. You just wait on me. He said, after a while, you're going to hear the sound of me coming through the mulberry trees. And I'm going to fight this battle for you. That's what I like about this good, sweet Holy Ghost. He'll fight the battle for you. Oh, I love it when he says, son, it's not your battle, it's mine. He's never been defeated. He's never been whipped. He's never took a back seat. He always comes out on the winning side. Cheer up, my brothers and sisters. We're on the winning side. Look at the back of the book. We're winners every time. Oh, we may. I was mowing the yard, I think, might have been yesterday, and I thought, well, Lord, I've had a few battles. It seemed like I've lost, and there's been a few times it seemed like I might have went down a little bit, but I've never lost the war. You'll never give up and quit with Jesus on your side. You can make it. Don't let that devil tell you you can't make it. Don't let that devil tell you you can't not say. I've been saved about all my life, and he still plays that trick on me, Brother Gilpin. He said, you're not saved. You don't have nothing. I know I don't have nothing without him, but I've got everything with him. Be encouraged. Hold your head up. We got a big brother that can handle the situation. Believe me. Praise the Lord. David then was another place he was pinned down. I like David. I really like David. David was pinned down at one place, and he had his mighty men with him. And David said, oh, that I had a drink of the water at the well of Bethlehem. The Bible says the three mighty men went out and got him some water. Brought it back to David. What David did, he poured it out. He poured it out because it put his men in jeopardy. David poured it out. But he wanted a drink of that water of Bethlehem. You know what I think he wanted? You remember how when Samuel anointed David to be the king? I think David was 30 years old when they anointed him to be the king over Israel. He was 7 years king in Hebron and 33 years in Jerusalem. He reigned for 40 years and he died at 70 years old. But right, what I'm talking about, where he wanted that water at Bethlehem, I'll tell you what I think was behind that. David was up in years just a little bit. He had thought about how he'd killed Goliath, and I believe he wanted that same power that he had when he killed Goliath. Oh, this Holy Ghost, I'll tell you, this Holy Ghost, this world can't have it. It can't receive it. Only the blood-bought, those that are saved, born again, got the real thing, got Christ living in our heart. That's who can get it. Be obedient. Be obedient. That's the key to get that good Holy Ghost. I don't know how many has it in here tonight, and I don't know how many don't. But I'm telling you, if I may, in a nice way, if you don't have it, we got a revival coming up here. You can get it before revival. We got a revival coming up. Purpose in your heart and in your mind. I'm going to get it. And I'm going to get it in this revival. And you'll get it. Did you know what? I went to that revival that week seeking the Holy Ghost. I went through four nights of it and never got it. But on that Friday night, I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I went to a place that I've never been before. I never felt such peace and harmony and joy in my life when that night that I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Oh, the Bible said, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. That's what draws them. The Spirit of the Lord. That's what brings them in. The Spirit of the Lord. I mean, I could preach all night, talk all night, and you'd get tired of me, wore out, weary with me. But oh, I want to tell you something. God's word will not go forth void. God always honors His word. And that Spirit of the Lord, if it ever gets a hold of you, it'll make a difference if it gets a hold of you just right. I'll tell you what, if it ever gets a hold of you just right, you might just take your running spell. You might shout. You might even raise your hand. If that good Holy Ghost ever gets a hold of you just right. I'm telling you this, like I said a while ago, this earth was without form and void. But I tell you, when that Spirit of the Lord got through with it, it's a pretty nice looking place now, isn't it? I'll tell you what, the Lord can cut them rough edges off. He can make you love people you don't even like. He make you treat people right. I mean, he'll make you like people that abuse you and use you and mistreat you. He'll give you the love to do that. That's the kind of God was the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Amen. 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 That good power, that good Holy Ghost. I wished I had more of the anointing. I wished I had more of that Spirit, don't you? I wished I had enough of God in my life and my heart when I got up to preach, when I got up to teach or whatever. Sing, testify. It would move people. It moved people. Praise the Lord. Did you know the Holy Ghost is a person? In John chapter 16, 10 times, he's mentioned as a he. Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. We know a lot about the Father, we know something about the Son, but the Holy Ghost is a he. He's a person. He's a real person. I'll tell you something. I've been through a few things in my life. If it had not been the Holy Ghost that got under me and upgirded me and got under me and lifted me, I wouldn't be here tonight. Oh, this Holy Ghost, it's precious. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I believe in the Trinity, don't you? I believe in the Trinity, don't you? All right. I'm glad you gave me a lot of time. I hope I don't worry you out. I hope I build you up. I'll tell you, that Holy Ghost, that Holy Spirit's been with us a long time. It was in the creation. It was in the regeneration. It's in sanctification. And it's in the resurrection. You know why I got saved? I didn't want to go to hell. That's a plain, straight truth about it. You know why I stay saved? He's been so good to me. You may not be looking at much, but I feel like the Lord loves me. You know, we talk about, I chose the Lord. We better be thankful He chose us. And that Spirit of the Lord draw. Without Jesus Christ, we don't have a chance. Without Jesus Christ. I always like that regeneration. You know, when you get saved, you get regenerated. Regeneration. I always like that. And every time I think about it, I think about a generator on a car. Oh, I remember the 55 Chevrolets and the 57 Chevrolet. Young people, my first vehicle was a 57 Chevrolet. Red. Oh, I paid big money for it. $500 and it had just been painted. That was my first vehicle. Oh, I'll tell you what, if I didn't have a generator on that old 57 Chevrolet, when I started it up, if I could get it started, turn them lights on, when that battery went down, why? Didn't have no generator. So as long as that battery was all right, the car would be all right. But when that battery run down, car quit on me. Why? No generator. That generator, that alternator's put on there to regenerate that power. That's what that alternator does. Without it, you won't last long on the road, no lights long. But that generates that power, puts that power back in the battery. You see, that's what that Holy Ghost does. When you get through fighting and banging and the devil keeps throwing darts at you and banging on you and beating on you and wearing you down, if you don't have a generator, which is the Holy Ghost, putting that power back in you, You won't last as long as my dad used to say. You won't last as long as a June frost. You got to have that power. Got to have that power. Sand Gap Holiness Church, there was an elderly woman there. Got the Holy Ghost when she was 5 years old. Oh, that little woman. I mean, she was old. She couldn't move around much. But when that Spirit of the Lord got on her, I mean, she'd just spin around there and dance around there. Oh, I tell you, when the Holy Ghost moves on Evelyn. You remember those, we call them things where you pump them and they spin? That's what she reminds me of. When that Holy Ghost gets on her, she starts spinning around just like one of them things you pump. Starts spinning around. That Holy Ghost will do it to you, church. Try it. Try it. Try it. Try it. I'm going to have to cut this thing short. You know, the Holy Ghost has many different names. One of them is the Holy Spirit. Why is it called the Holy Spirit? It's holy. It'll make holy. It shuns sin. Another name for the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Christ. It's sin in Christ's name. It testifies of Christ. It glorifies Christ. One good thing, well, a lot of good things, but I really love about the Holy Ghost. It will never glorify you. It'll always glorify Christ. Every time I get up to ministers, there are three things I want to do. I want to glorify Jesus. I want to exhort His Word. And I want to edify the body of Christ. That Holy Ghost will never glorify you. It'll always glorify Jesus Christ. Another name for the Holy Ghost is a comforter. It's a helper. It helps in prayer. It helps in the truth. It helps in the ministry. I've never seen a good pastor without a good wife. Never. Never. It's like putting on gloves. You've got to have two of them. There's a lot of good pastors, maybe not married or wife's passed on. That's fine, but I tell you what, you find me a real good, genuine, solid, faithful, grounded, rooted, good pastor. You're going to find a good wife praying for him, lifting him up. Comforter, helper. I remember, let me mention him one more time here. Brother Huff, I remember a lot of things that he said. A lot of things that he said. I wanted to get on his good side, Brother Gibbon. So I remember a lot of good things he said. But anyway, Brother Huff said one time, he said, you know that verse in Romans 8:28? Now we know that all things work together for good to those that love the Lord and called according to His purpose. But it seems like things in life, not everything works out good for those that are called and love the Lord. Brother Huff, and I don't know too much about gravy and biscuit. He said, you know what? You can take flour by itself and it don't taste too good. You take salt by itself, it don't taste too good. You put all that together, it makes good biscuits. And that's the way it is with life. There's been a lot of times it hasn't been easy, but you put it all together. I wouldn't trade it for this world. Young person, are you hearing me tonight? This world. Now, don't look at me and tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. This world is nothing compared when you're down in the dumps and it seems like everybody has let you down and forsaken you. This world can't give you that peace that passes all understanding. What a Savior. What a friend. What a friend. My word. My goodness, what a friend. What a friend. What a friend. Precious. I know, I realize I'm a man. And maybe women are a little bit more, the sisters a little bit more about this hugging and stuff. But I want to tell you, I understand when the Bible says that John leaned over on the breast of the Savior. I can understand that. The closeness. Oh, he can be close, church. Oh, what fellowship. That good spirit, that communion. I love my wife, and you know I do. I love my daughter, and you know I do. But I want to tell you what, that communion with the Savior, it tops it all. Well, praise His holy name. Well, there's another name for the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of promise. Got to move on, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of grace. There you go. That's the reason we're here tonight. Nothing you've done. It's grace. The Spirit of life. The Spirit of adoption. The Holy Ghost. There's fruit. Not, you don't say fruits. It says fruit of the Spirit of God. Fruit of the Spirit of God. What are they? Love. Joy. Peace. Long-suffering. Gentleness. Goodness. Faith. Meekness. Temperance. I'll tell you what, church. You're saved and you got the Holy Ghost. You're going to treat people good. In church, out of church, where you're at. You're going to treat people good. You're not going to run them down with your tongue. You're not going to beat them to death. You're going to love people and care about people. And I know you do that. I'm confident that you do that. You wouldn't be here on Wednesday night if you didn't love the Lord. I got enough sense to know that. You love the Lord. You wouldn't be here, especially to hear me. Now, I can understand you coming to hear Brother Jarvis. You probably thought he was going to be here tonight. You know what? I'm glad he tricked you. And you got to, and I got to do a little something. But I know you'd rather hear Brother Jarvis, but, you know, Isaiah chapter 11, it's there. Talks about the seven spirits of God. It really does. Check me out. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 or 2. Talk. You know what? We come to the house of God and get all fueled up. Get in a good revival and get all fueled up. And then we start that downward motion. What are we going to do in between spells? You know, I go to church sometime getting a good service. I have a spell. I mean, I get feeling good, Brother Gippin. I mean, I get stirred. And I have me a spell. And then I don't have another spell for 6 months. What am I going to do in between spells? That's the reason we need that good Holy Ghost. Love, joy, peace. I mentioned them. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Hallelujah. Treating people good. Being long-suffering with people. Gentleness, faith. Oh, hallelujah. What about the gifts? Let me give you these real quick. Gifts. Gifts of the Holy Ghost. The word of wisdom. In other words, ministry of the word. Knowledge. You know what I think wisdom is? Teach you how to use your knowledge. I mean, you know what? There's people that, they're so far ahead of me in education. There's people right here tonight. So far ahead of me in education, I don't even come close to you. I mean, I'm so far behind you. But you know what? It takes more than that. Wisdom. It'll show you how to use your knowledge. It'll show you when to come in out of the rain. You know what I mean? Started to go there a little bit. We'll leave it alone. All right. Discernment of spirits, and we really need that today in the church world. Discernment of spirits. There's all kinds of stuff going on. Discernment of spirit. You know what? Let me say a little something here. Me and my wife, most of you know, did not meet till we was 34. Neither one's never been married before. In my 20s, in my early 30s, I had all kinds of people try to get me hooked up with this one or that one. I didn't have to worry about it at all. Everybody wanted to tell me what to do. Everybody wanted to know my business. But I'll tell you what, the Lord, He knows just who I needed and who would work. My problem, you don't think I got impatient? Oh, yes, I did. I mean, I tried to rush him up like Sarah tried to rush Abraham in that situation. I tried to rush this thing up. Wait on the Lord, young person. He'll give you the right one that'll stick with you. It'll work with him. It'll work with him. It'll work with him. It'll work. It'll work. I love her better tonight than I did then. Brother Huff married us right here. I was so scared. I believe I was actually, my knees were shaking together. But I want to tell you what, I love her more now than then. Why? I'll tell you what it is. It's a thing called commitment. I'll tell you what, I like to fell off my feet. When Evelyn told me, he said, Charlie, sometimes I don't feel like loving you. But she said, I'm committed to you. Commitment. I mean, when you know how it is sometimes. You know how it is sometimes. You just don't, little don't love them. You don't even like them. You know how it is. I'll tell you what. When you're dating and they fix themselves all up, you know, in nice dress and hair pretty and smelling good. I mean, it's easy to like them. You catch them in the morning. It's a little bit different story. There's a thing called commitment. Commitment. Are you getting it? Commitment. Young person, get it. Commitment. This world will drag you down to the dirt. Commitment. 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 Faith, miracles, gifts of healings. You know, it don't say gift of healing. It says gifts of healing. Prophecy, divers kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. Oh, God, I tell you, He's got this Holy Ghost where it manifests itself wherever He chooses. You know, we're all in the body of Christ. Where you're a little finger, a big toe, or an arm, or a leg, you're all in the body of Christ. And God's got you just where He wants you. And I'll tell you what. I like this thing on Monday night. I like that. I like the church way it prays here. I guess I might be a little too lazy to get out on every morning at 6 o'clock. You want to know the bottom truth of it. But I do have other things to do. So do you. But I'll tell you, that praying's good. That praying's good. That's what brings the power. That's what brings the anointing of that good Holy Ghost. Is prayer and obedience. All right. There are several types of the Holy Ghost. One is wind. One is fire. One's water. One's the dove. One of them's oil. And one of them's wine. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1:13. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit with promise. 2 Corinthians 1:22 talks about earnest. Who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. In other words, gave us, I like to look at it, gave us some interest. Said, I've saved you. Give you that Holy, give you some interest on that good Spirit of God. Good Spirit of God. People like Wesley, Moody, Charles Spurgeon, great men of God that loved the Lord and sacrificed their lives for Him. I was looking at something today and I thought I would read this. That is, if I can find it. Appreciate the Lord so much tonight. Don't you love Him tonight? Years ago, Brother Gippin, I was a man. He'd get up every time he'd get behind the pulpit and say, do you love Him? Do you love Him? Do you love Him? I found out a new, the Bible talks about loving your mother. I really found out what that word means. Loving your mom. I'll know a little bit more about what that word means. Loving your mom. The prophet Moses was called by far. Elijah called down far. Elisha made afar. Micah prophesied far. John the Baptist cried, he shall baptize the Holy Ghost and with far. Jesus said, I come to send far on the earth. The church in England slammed every door in the face of a man God sent, whose name was John Wesley. When John Wesley went away from Oxford University, having failed completely. What about that? John Wesley. When he left Oxford, Oxford University. He felt like he failed completely. There he was, had the brain of a scholar, had zeal. He had a tongue of a great speaker to lead others to the Lamb. Then came May the 24th, 1738, when John Wesley at Aldersgate Street prayer meeting was born of the Spirit. Later, he was filled with the Spirit in 13 years. This far baptized man shook three kingdoms when he got a hold of that good Holy Ghost. Peter, he's about like I am sometimes. He speaks before thinking. He denied the Lord. But when Peter got that Holy Ghost, he stood up among the leaven and preached. What a message. And 3,000, about 3,000 got saved. I heard someone say, well, nowadays we pray 10 minutes and preach 10 days and nobody gets saved. If we'd pray 10 days and preach 10 minutes, I think we'd see the pulpits and the pews stirred. God saved us to get others saved, to love people and treat people good. You know what? I don't want to go on here too much longer, but I'll tell you something. When I first got saved, I wanted everybody to live just like me. And if they didn't, they were lost. And if I couldn't get it through talking to them, I'd start trying to beat it into them through their words and mine. You know what? No. If I haven't learned anything in my life, I've learned you can't make nobody do nothing. You got to treat people good. You know one thing I'm going to say about Brother Jarvis? He's always treated me good. And I like that. But what an army of priests could not do in 400 years. That's the Old Testament to the New Testament, around 400 years. What an army of priests could not do in 400 years, one man, son of God, John the Baptist, God fashioned, God filled, and God fired up, did it in 6 months. What about that? This church was having a meeting. There's an old man going to preach. Old man pastored the church. A young man was going to preach. I mean, that young man sat on that front seat. I mean, he was so pumped up. I mean, he thought, man, I got it today. I got it today. I feel it today. I'm going to really preach to him today. I mean, he couldn't keep his seat. Oh, that young man got up behind that pulpit when the pastor told him to. Couldn't say a word. Couldn't say a word. He got his Bible and he put it under his arm. He walked back down and sat there on the pew with his head down. The old man got up in his wisdom. He said, son, if you'd have come up here the way you went down, you'd have went down the way you come up. And how true that is. It takes the baptism and the power of the Spirit of the Lord. The man that preached the message when the night I got saved, he said one time he was preaching, he said it was the worst preaching he ever done in his life. He said it was an absolute total failure. He said he just closed his Bible and turned around behind the pulpit and got down and just cried and asked God to forgive him. What a failure he was. After a while, he looked behind him and the altars was full of people. You see, it wasn't what he did. It's what the Spirit of the Lord did. One other little thing. I got to looking at this little book today. I hardly ever do this. So don't think I do this often. I always like to keep my Bible. But I was reading this little book today by Leonard Ravenhill, Why Revival Tarries. Brothers and sisters, when I got through looking at that today, I didn't feel worthy to preach to you all. He made me feel so small and so little and so adequate. I think that's the word you use. Here we go. I'll close with this, I think. Let any man shut himself up for a week with only bread and water, with no books except the Bible, with no visitor except the Holy Ghost. And I guarantee my preaching brother or my brothers and sisters, you'll have a revival. You'll have a revival. Praise the Lord. The power of that good Holy Ghost is what we need to get stirred. Hey, I don't know about you. I'm talking about me. I need stirring.